This is what allows negotiation, because like when we talk about negotiating projects, it isn't like, well, I want it for 10. And they're like, will you do it for 6? And you're like, 9. And they're like, 8. And then you're done. Like, that's not what we talk about. It's not a flea market.
The Perspective Podcast is fuel for your mind and creative grind. Each week, we break down the art of healthy hustling, overcoming the inner critic, and growing your creative business. What's going on? You're listening to episode 218 of the Perspective Podcast. I'm your host, Scotty Russell of Perspective Collective, and my mission is to put you in a position to take your creative pursuits full-time one day. At the end of each episode, I plug a listener of the week, so stick around to figure out how you can get a permanent shout-out on a future episode. Let me ask you something. Does trying to price your creative work stress you out? What if there was a way to simplify the game, especially in the realms of usage, rights, and licensing? Fear not, my fretful friend, because we have you covered today. We have back on the magnificent Maggie Interrios of the Lovely Little Patterns. Trust me when I say that Maggie knows her shit when it comes to this game of running a creative business and all the things that go on underneath the hood that make most of us sweat bullets. She's been a hired weapon for clients like Drake, Champagne Poppy over there, Apple, All-Pro, and just a gaggle of spirits, beauty, and food-related brands seeking her botanical illustrative skills. In today's episode, Maggie goes deep on how to price your illustration work. But more specifically, we talk shop on the basics of becoming a commercial illustrator, communicating and pricing your work based on value, negotiations, and taking control as a professional, the 4 questions to determine usage rights, and nurturing long-term client relationships, and so much more. You're going to want to take mad notes on this, so start warming up your phalanges, get your pencils sharpened, get your mechanical pencils ready to go, get your microns all lined up in a row as well, especially if you're a sketch notes taker on this one. You're going to want to throw down because Maggie requested sketch notes, and we do what Maggie says here. If you're ready to step your game up, communicate your value, and charge what you're worth, then you're going to love this one. Like, I think your mind is going to be blown. Before we get started, could you do me a favor, though? Maggie poured a ton of effort and energy into this one. Like, seriously, she did all the heavy lifting on this. And this is basically a presentation packaged up with a bow meant for you to help you out. So the educational content she shares here needs to be shared more so we as a creative community can raise the standards in our industry. So please, it would mean the world to me if you took a screenshot or a video of you working to this in the background. Make sure to tag me at Perspective Podcast as well as Maggie as Little Patterns on your Instagram story so we can connect and I can reshare the love back. Or just simply share this with your family, friends, or following who you know will find this information helpful. Trust me, this shit is gold today. And as always, keep an open mind and act on anything that inspires you today. Let's go. PC family, we have Maggie Interrios back on the show today for round 2. How have you been?
I'm back.
The people's champ is back, folks.
I've been just thriving. Everything's been fine. I mean, what can I say? It's been a weird one, and I'm just doing my best. How are you?
I'm good. Since we've last talked, I have another kiddo. We've moved.
You have a girl.
Little baby girl, as this comes out, okay, she would have just turned 1. My little baby cakes just turned 1.
Are you going to do a smash cake?
Yes.
Oh, I love those.
We have someone local that will be hiring. She's my little strawberry. I got a strawberry theme for like her decorations and everything.
Stop it.
Yeah, that's my little baby girl. But I've navigated a pandemic. I'm 1 year into full-time, over a year and a half now into self-employment, which is wild. So many things have changed since we've connected.
I remember I was at like a dealership in Houston, Texas, trying to get some stuff fixed on my car when you texted me and you were like, well, okay, life transition happened a lot sooner than I thought. I lost my job.
Help me. You know that meme with like the dog sitting in a fire and everything's fine? Yeah, that was totally me.
It was perfect timing for me because what else do you do when you're sitting at a dealership waiting? I was like, oh, this is great.
Help friends.
I have so much to text about.
That's hilarious, man. So if people want like the full scoop and story, I'll like hook them up right here. This will be in the show notes too. But you were originally on episode 116, February 2019. You gave a high level overview of niching down, pricing, contracts, licensing. That is easily like one of the top most shared episodes to date. Like I still get blown up about it. Then episode 144, you joined me on the stage at Creative Works, October 2020. So that one was really, really good too. First live experience. So yeah, and then like 2 weeks later, I lost my job.
Oh my gosh, what a time.
Right? So I think today is even more important. So for those who may not know about you, let's give a brief Wikipedia page summary, and then I'm going to let you steer and captain the ship today.
Well, my name is Maggie Enterrios. I'm a commercial illustrator. I'm go by little patterns on the internet, and most of my work are like these super detailed, mostly botanical illustrations that are used on commercial packaging and fabrics and all the beautiful things across the world. So since we last spoke, I re-listened to episode 116 last night. I had to prep and I had to be like, oh, what examples did I use? I don't want to be redundant. And I sounded so smart. I was listening to myself and I was like, wow, she really knows what she's talking about. So when I was listening to the episode, I was like, oh, where are there some areas that we could maybe dive into a little bit further? Or like, since the two years since we made that episode, I figured I should probably just go back and look at all like the follow-up questions that people were asking. So I thought it could be fun to do sort of like pricing your illustration part two, return of the licensing.
Sounds like a very nerdy design Netflix documentary.
Yeah, licensing drift.
I'm ready to nerd out. I know people have these questions. This isn't my realm anymore. Why I bring someone like you on, because I did the whole freelance game. It just wasn't for me. I found my path and you love, I mean, we've talked about this too. Like, you are super passionate and nerdy about like the whole drawing realm, but also you're hella educational, which is why your business has popped off. So that's why I bring you on. You're the expert on this.
Wow. Thanks, Scotty. So I'm joining you today to sort of give like a next level. I would maybe not call it high level. I'd say we're going more low level, more intricate. I wanted to just kind of talk through like what my work is. And so people understand where I'm coming from first. So when I call myself a commercial artist, it basically means that I illustrate bespoke pieces, mostly digitally, for commercial clients that are putting them on products that they want to sell to make money. So that could be something like, you know, a canned wine or a textile, or it could be more like advertising, something in that realm, where it is an ad for a business, but that business is a money-making business. Like, you know, we should all be so lucky as to have. Anytime they use my work, they are seeing the value in my work and they're seeing the value that it is providing to their business. So when I price, I charge a combination fee that I call artwork creation plus licensing. And licensing is sometimes referred to as usage or rights, but it all means the same thing. So if you hear the term licensing, usage, or rights, it's all kind of talking about the same thing. And it is the ability for that client to use your work. Or as I say, either buy or borrow your artwork for their commercial purposes. And that's pretty important to distinguish, because I know that a lot of people, when you're first starting out as an illustrator or you're first starting to get interested in it and trying to understand how you might make money doing it, a lot of people tend to think like, well, how long does this illustration take me? I guess that's what I can charge. And that keeps a lot of illustrations in this like under $1,000 realm, because people don't quite understand that it isn't about time that goes into the work. It's about the value. So a lot of early illustrators might do like personal commissions for friends and family. In my personal opinion, it's totally fine to charge that kind of stuff hourly. It's the production cost. It covers your hours. You can set your hourly rate to be whatever it is that you need to get by. But those people aren't selling your work. They maybe are commissioning you to make a cool thing for their house, or as, you know, a gift. A lot of wedding gifts are illustrative. So they can pay you a flat fee, but they're not reproducing that work and selling it again and again and again and again and again. They're not relying on your work to make them profit. And that's where commercial clients are doing that. So they're relying on your artwork to sell their products. And that's a whole other area of tack-on pricing that we call licensing usage or rights, which, you know, sounds kind of crazy, which is why I'm here.
It's a bit intimidating, like if you're just learning about this realm, if you're just getting into the game or selling your work for the first time.
Absolutely. But it's so standard, like it's so industry standard that if you're talking to a client and you're like, ooh, I think this is one of those projects where I'm supposed to charge licensing, but I'm nervous to bring it up to them. More often than not, they're going to understand what you're talking about because it's industry standard and they want legally, they want the right. They want to know what they have the right to do with your artwork. So they're also interested in the discussion and it makes you sound more like you know what you're doing, which everybody loves. So my artwork is really decorative. Most of my work is for special edition or holiday lines. I don't do a lot of like core branding because my work is super extra. So it takes a very specific brand to want that to be their core brand identity. So for the most part, my work is really pretty and decorative, and it's meant to pop off the shelves or be like a giftable item or something sort of exciting and it's a seasonal.
Premium vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of premium products, which is so fun because usually the briefs I get it's really fun work. Like they're coming to me with like really kind of beautiful, ornate, you know, holiday ideas.
Those are the descriptors that they use in their briefs.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, I love it. I mean, it's like, it's really fun work and it is like super time consuming. Oftentimes there are a lot of stakeholders and that means the people that have to like approve your illustrations. And so that's the kind of work I do, but I want to note that there are so many different types of illustration work. So what I'm going to be talking about today is mostly illustration like I do, because that's my specialty, but I want it to be noted for people that are interested in illustration or kind of just starting to get into it, that there are just like so many different avenues and all of them could follow the same pricing structure. But, you know, you may be listening to this and you're like, ooh, but how does this work for, you know, calligraphy? It's still going to be valuable, but it might be an offshoot. So I made a little list of some illustration jobs. So yeah, I do packaging illustration with a little bit of botanical illustration thrown in there. There's lettering, there's mural painting, I put packaging illustration on there twice because it's so important to me. You could be a portrait artist. So one of the early gigs I ever did was illustrating portraits for different employees at a big company. So it was like 100 employees. You know, you could specialize in drawing the portraits for editorial work or in magazines when you see like the illustrated version of the person who's writing the article. Storyboard artists work in the film industry. There are print and textile designers who work like across industries. I mean, anything decorative in your household could be a specialty. Like you could technically be a specialty in like designing dish towels. Like that could be your whole job. There's like teaching, being an illustration teacher, being a fashion illustration teacher, being a typeface designer, like so broad. And I always kind of feel like I have to bring this up because I want people to understand that there is a wide breadth to the industry. It's not like, oh, I can only make a living if I'm drawing letters or if I'm designing book covers. Like you can piecemeal all of these things and sort of make a career for yourself and still fall under the umbrella of illustration. So what's next on our list after our overview? I wanted to go into why licensing is important and which projects you get that might trigger the need for you to quote it when you're quoting a project. So licensing, I think I mentioned this, it separates personal projects from clients who are going to make money off of your work. So a few different things go into factoring your licensing rate. So when you get a project request, you know, the client comes to you, your first email back should be like, oh my gosh, thank you so much for this project. I'm so interested in discussing it with you. then it's on you to ask the next few questions. So always, first off, always ask for a brief. And that's what you're going to get from the client that has probably their mood board in it. It usually has a timeline. It might have mock-ups using, they might have taken your work and sort of like tossed it across some of their products to give you an idea of what they're looking for in terms of size and scale. And then they're going to ask you, generally, what would you quote for a project like this? Like 8 times out of 10, that's the next question they're going to ask you. They're going to send you the brief and ask you, okay, what are you charging?
So you don't ask for budgets ahead of time?
I mean, so I do sometimes.
You do, okay.
But like, you know, if someone is like, hey, Maggie, we're interested in working with you. Can we send you an NDA? And I say, great. At that point, I don't say, what's your budget? Because I don't know what the project is yet.
Yeah.
So I get the brief. I review it. I kind of start mulling over where, how much work I think it might be. And at this point in the process, a lot of us, myself included, still, you start to get excited and nervous and very sweaty because you're like, I want this project. I cannot screw this up. Like the quoting process is the fork in the road where you're like, if I screw up this quoting project, there, quote, there goes the project. I've got to nail it. I've got to ace it. I have to write this email perfectly. It's very stressful.
It's a sweaty career.
It is such a sweaty career, isn't it? I sometimes, candidly, like if I'm super busy or if I'm in the middle of a bunch of other projects, sometimes I'll just ask them the budget. Like if I don't want to just do a ton of research and a ton of like quote building, then I will write back and say, oh, wow, like looks great. Looks like it's right up my alley. Very excited for this opportunity. Can you share a little bit more about your budget for this project? I am fine going this route. It rarely works. I mean, but it's worth trying. If you've got a little time to spare, maybe like you don't quite care as much about the project, because I do think it's a little abrupt and clients like to have conversation with you. And the more they converse with you, the higher likelihood that you will have a nice working relationship and understand that there can be some candidness and there can be some question asking and some exploratory conversations. So asking them their budget up front, while it sometimes works, it kind of cuts off the conversation fairly early. Or at least they might come back to you a little defensive with like, well, can you tell us what your budget is? And then you don't want to be that therapist that's, you know, well, why do you think that you're feeling this way? Like, no, you should provide some constructive questions to them. So let's say that you've gotten a brief, you can see what the artwork looks like. It's right up your alley. It's in your same vein of desired work. You can probably at that point assume how long it might take you to do the work. Let's say it's like, you think it maybe is like a 20-hour project. You build in a couple hours for back and forth. And that's how you come up with like your base fee, like your artwork creation fee. But then it's on you now to try to figure out what you might charge for licensing or usage or rights. And that is, you have to find out from the client how they intend to use your artwork. And this is all on you. And it's really daunting and it's kind of scary, but it is so, so important. And what you're doing in this train of question asking is you're figuring out what the value of the work is to the client. And I don't mean that in like a seedy way, like you're not trying to see how much you can get out of them. Like you're trying to understand the value, how much they're going to use your artwork and what for. So I've kind of dialed it into like 4 buckets of questions that I ask and that I have to know before I'm able to put together a quote. So number 1 is the duration of time that they anticipate using the work. And that's super important because let's say you're doing like a limited edition holiday project for somebody. You have given them, if you haven't asked that question, like how long are you going to use this work? You know, you might assume that they're only going to use it for holiday 2021. But then in 2022, you see that they've reprinted the work and you're going to have that feeling like, what? But like, that doesn't make any sense. Like it was just last year's project, but they technically, if you didn't ask the question, if you don't have it written down anywhere, they have every right in the world to reproduce that work as many times as they want for any amount of time. So that one is like the first question that I use. How long will the artwork be in use? Also understanding if maybe this is a new company or a startup, or if it's like a holiday or limited edition run, because if it's a new company or a startup, they might need a different amount of time to get things going. So somebody could say to me like, oh, well, you know, we're going to be using this for only about a year, but you know, we're just starting out. So it's going to take us like 12 months to get the product on the market. And then I can say, okay, well, it sounds like you might need a 2-year license, not a 1-year license, because this has a longer lead time. So just understanding, that also gives you the opportunity to learn more about the company, about how fast things move within their organization. Super important. So that's duration or time. That's the number one. So next up is geography. It's fairly self-explanatory. Where are they selling the work? Let's say that your client is like a small coffee shop in Boise, Idaho, and you charge them really low fee for licensing because they're like right down the street from you and it's a local business and you want to like do them a solid, but you didn't specify anything about where they could produce the work. And so maybe 2 years later, this coffee shop is like going off and is super like artisanal, popular, and then they get like bought up by Whole Foods. And now they're being distributed like across the country in major stores, but you didn't specify anything about that. So again, if you don't specify the geography and the region that somebody can produce your work, they could technically take it and grow their business to infinity and distribute through other retailers, and you have no protection and no say. And while, yes, it is the coffee beans, I'm sure, that are selling the coffee, like your work is still on it. Your work is on the packaging. That, in all fairness, you deserve like a cut of that value. So number one, duration. Number two, geography. Also, you don't want to be doing a project for someone in like the UK, and then all of a sudden you see a bunch of stuff at grocery stores in America, and you're like, oh, we didn't agree to this, but I never said anything. Not okay. So number three is the type of license. So like, what is being produced? Is it for advertising or like display only? Like, is this only going to be used on social media, or is it going to be produced and sold on for-profit items? Is it for promotional products? Like, is it like swag that they're giving away on tote bags for free? Or is it going to be used on like 50 t-shirts or 5,000 t-shirts? Like, you have to have a very clear understanding of what is being produced with your art. Because if you sell something to someone and you say like, great, here's a t-shirt design for your brewery. And then 2 months later, you come in and you're like, oh, wow, they made a neon sign with it. They're selling tote bags. They're selling hats. Like, they're using it all over social media. Like, you messed that up. You didn't ask them what they were going to use your work on. So that's the type. And then lastly, I do exclusivity. So while your client holds the license, they are the only ones that can use it for the agreed upon amount of time if you have an exclusive license. So you could also ask them if they need that exclusivity or if they are okay with the artwork being potentially used in other markets. So your client may use and produce the art, but at the same time, you, the artist, are free to license that artwork elsewhere. And that's important because a lot of larger companies, I would say like mid-sized companies even, like they definitely want to ensure that they're the only ones that can use the artwork. But in a case like mine, where like a lot of my work, I mean, it's all custom, but it isn't, like, it's very usable. Like, if I draw a bunch of roses, like a beautiful rose pattern for somebody's coffee shop, I mean, that rose would work really well as like a fabric, like a textile pattern.
Beauty products and all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Anywhere. So does it damage their brand if those same roses that they're using or that they're using for their coffee product are, you know, being used on fabrics in another place? for another purpose isn't important to them. And for a lot of big companies, it's super important. For a lot of smaller companies, it isn't as important. So they might agree to a lower license. So the reason we ask all these questions is because there's a big difference between, you know, a small local coffee shop that only wants to use your work for one holiday season in Boise. They want, they're okay with you selling it elsewhere. And they, what's my last one? Oh yeah, it's just for coffee cups. There's a big difference between that work and a global company that wants to put your work on multiple items that are going to be sold everywhere around the world on tons of products. And they're going to make, you know, $2 million on the sales of your art. There's such a huge difference. So you have to really understand and price accordingly, because those two people shouldn't pay the same amount. Like, you should create savings for a smaller business or something that you're passionate about or want to support if it's local. And you should understand that the value of your work is higher for the larger business because it has more touch points. There are more people using it, seeing it, and they have a higher ability to make profit off of it. So that's the bucket. It's a lot of info.
So in the exclusivity, would that be like buyouts then?
Yeah. So it could be a buyout. It certainly could.
Or is it just, here's the usage amount of like 2 years. They didn't want to do a buyout. So at the end of that 2 year exclusivity, then it's open again for whatever you want to use it for.
It's open. They can re-up on it if they want, or it's free for me to use or sell again. Or, you know, I can, after that 2 year term is up, I can change the colors. I can use parts of it and put them in other things. It essentially reverts back to me unless they choose to keep their license going.
What are like the typical terms that you like to operate with? 1, 2, 3, and then full buyout?
Yeah. I still do full buyout. I'm like less in favor of it these days because the pricing, I mean, it gets really high with something like full buyout because it's removing any right that you ever have to that artwork ever again. And for big, like corporations.
And they can do whatever the fuck they want with
it. It can do anything. And it's really exciting to get that full buyout payment, but it's not so exciting when you feel like you undercharged or you like missed out. And then years down the line, you're like, oh, okay, so that went farther than I thought it would.
So the short term, it's like, ooh, dollar signs. Yeah. You know, I got a cushion.
Yeah.
Oh, a pandemic's coming. I'm good. But future, yeah.
I've found that in recent years, I've been doing more of a like exclusive license, like exclusive across industry. And maybe I'll do an exclusive license in perpetuity until the item like goes out of like stock or, you know, something like that. So if a company like stops producing work or the company closes, if they bought out the work, that still wouldn't belong to you. Like the company's defunct, your work is gone. You're like legally, you should not even try to use it because it still could have repercussions. So most of my terms now have changed. It's not like full buyout. It's like, okay, you have exclusive use forever, anywhere, until you're done using the work and then it comes back to me.
And you maintain ownerships though.
Yeah. So it's just like small verbiage changes, but basically it means that like the work I did 5 years ago isn't dead. Like it never dies and I can use it again.
So you just charge a little bit less than what a full buyout.
A little bit less. Yeah. And sometimes that doesn't work and they still want full buyout. And, you know, it's up to you whether
here's another 50K.
Whether, bitch. Yeah, if you're passionate enough about it. Going back to how I charge, artwork creation plus licensing equals final price. So a project that is, you know, a $3,000 project or a $3,000 drawing for maybe a small local business that's going to use it for like a short amount of time for something pretty small, I'm going to be budget conscious with them and I'm going to try to offer them. First, I'm going to see what they need. I'm going to offer them what I think is the best fit. So something like maybe a 2 year license to, you know, work regionally and produce up to 500 units. And I'm going to see what they say. And if they write back and they're like, you know what, it's still, it's out of our budget. Like, we can't afford that. What I'm not going to do is waive the licensing. What I'm going to do is try to limit or pull back on the rights so that I can make the project work for them, but I can still retain and protect my artwork. So I would say, okay, well, maybe you actually just need a 1 year, and maybe let's make it non-exclusive, because I kind of want to put this up on a stock image website and I'm going to make it available. So if you guys are cool just sort of borrowing the work for a short amount of time, then we can follow up in a year, see how it's going, see how your profit margins were. And if you want to re-up, you can, and you can buy exclusivity at that point if that's something that's important to you.
I think that's huge there, is like, instead of being desperate and be like, okay, let me lower my rates or let me drop the usage rates, like, you have the ability to a la carte things in a little bit, you know, maybe take things down over here, or I don't, and maybe not in your world, but like, hey, let me pull back some of the details or something like that. Or let me pull back on some of the deliverables.
No, absolutely. Maybe you just
need a standard package versus like this deluxe kind of thing, versus like, okay, I need this, let me just knock off 2,000 and meet your budget.
Yeah, it opens up the door to conversation and to understanding. So, and it this is how you negotiate. This is what allows negotiation, because if somebody comes to, like, when we talk about negotiating projects, it isn't like, well, I want it for 10. And they're like, will you do it for 6? And you're like, 9. And they're like, 8. And then you're done. Like, that's not what we talk about.
You're not at a flea market.
It's not a flea market. When we're talking about negotiation, it's about having a conversation that lets you understand what they need the work for. And it gives you these categories that you can pull back on in order to make the project stick and to not keep the deal from falling apart. So you're understanding that maybe they really value this artwork, but they don't have the budget to fit the artwork. So pull back on geography and tell them, like, okay, well, you know, if you want this forever to use, that's fine, but you can only use it in like the tri-state area. And if you want to use it more, we're going to have to renegotiate. And most people, most companies, if they're a small company that has, you know, a minor distribution network, they're probably going to be okay with that. So it's just about, it allows you to pull back on the rights, thus lowering the price that they might pay. Eventually you could end up making even more because if they come back to you year after year, if you've got one of those people who's like, well, I don't want to spend that much this year, like, I can only afford $1,000 this year. And you're like, okay, well, I wanted to charge you 5, but okay, I'll give you like a few rights. I'll keep it really limited to hit your $1,000 budget. But if they re-up for 5 years in a row, you still made the same amount of money. So having the ability to negotiate in that way, it so many benefits. You understand your client more. They respect you more. You understand the project. You have the ability to charge accurately according to their exact needs. And you have a long-term relationship with them where they value your artwork, understand the value of it, and follow up year after year if it's something that they deem is worthy to their business. And then if it's going well, they're coming back to you asking for more because they have to, you know, when you send them their email once a year, that's like, well, you're licensing up. How's it going? Do you need anything additional? Like, it keeps the conversation going.
It's like almost retainer passive income in a sense. If they don't need changes, they need the same thing. Oh, here's some passive income.
Uh-huh.
Or yeah, here's some minor edits that we need to this. So renew the license.
So the last time we recorded, it was 2 years ago, and I had been working professionally for myself for, I don't know, 3.5 years at that point, something like that. So now I'm in like the 5-6 year mark. So I have now had those licensing terms that we talked about the first time. I've had them come back and re-up. Like, it's happening, like the circle is completing. And it's a great feeling because, you know, I think in like a month, I have a client who the licensing is up. They've had a 3-year license. Like, it's been in my calendar for a long time. And I get to approach them now because, you know, they're still using the artwork, and we're going to have a conversation about it where either they're going to say, we love it, we want to keep selling it, or, you know what, we're done with it. And then I get it back and I can use pieces of it again.
It's win-win.
Yeah. And I like, you know, it's like, I almost forgot that project existed, but now I'm kind of excited to either get the work back or see it out in the world for a few more years, knowing that it was, they deemed that it was selling well and doing well. It's a win-win. So when you said, you know, if we're talking like the actual steps of sending these emails and having these conversations, I think it's more than acceptable to send a follow-up email that says like, I'm going to get a quote together for you, but I'd love to chat about, you know, the following specifications for your project. Or we can hop on a call. I always love that. I love a little face-to-face. And
I feel like that's important for anybody who's not just a commercial illustrator, like all those steps, discovery and client relationships, getting on a call, get on a call.
It's really, it'll be great for everyone. We're all so used to it now.
Especially if you're like pitching and presenting the quote or the ideas or the concepts, like don't just send JPEGs in an email.
Yeah. And you have to, you know, adopt the mentality of any response I get from them, I'll be able to work with it and through it, like using these tactics. So, you know, you can send the email that's like, I'd like to understand, you know, what kind of products you're going to sell, where you're going to sell them, about how long you think you'll need them. And is this going to be exclusive? I'm really trying to understand so that I can price like the licensing accordingly. And if somebody writes back and they say, what is licensing? Which, you know, could happen. Doesn't happen a ton. Could happen. It is, the answer is like, oh, well, so glad you asked. You know, I price my artwork based on the art creation plus how you intend on using it. So in order to put together a quote, like, let's just chat about how you want to use the artwork.
Now you're educating them the value,
which is totally fine. That's also why I do calls like this and interviews like this, because if there are other illustrators listening who aren't using the term licensing in their quotes, like, you're hurting all of us. Like, if you're just charging hourly base fee, like, you're not understanding this pocket of wealth and value that is accessible to you, but you're also, you know, making it a little more difficult for any of us to ask for our appropriate value as well. High tide rises all ships. Like, if we're all using kind of the same language and we're all setting the same expectations for clients, our industry is valued higher as a whole and seen for the specialty work that it really is.
It's like, you don't know what you don't know. So that's why we will blast this shit to everyone. And if you're listening, you found this valuable, you should probably share this.
Share away. Yeah. I mean, I love talking about it. It's important. And I feel like there is starting to be a little more visibility and understanding of the intricacies of pricing and valuing your work, but I don't think that any amount is too much. I think it's great. So yeah, when that person comes back to you and they give you like a big giant wish list of rights and desires, you know, you can tell them, well, it sounds like you really need a lot of rights for this, which, you know, admittedly, I'll tell you is on the higher end of what I usually charge. So I'm going to put together a quote, but if you need a reduction in any of the rights in order to meet your budget, like, we can definitely discuss that. So you're setting the groundwork for the conversation so that they don't, when they get the quote, they're not looking at it like, wow, sticker shock, this is so much. They're looking at it with the understanding that they can come back to you and figure out the puzzle pieces that'll make it work.
It's like open-ended. It's your guiding. Yeah.
Yeah. It's way better than the emails we all used to send or are still sending that are like, like, okay, sending my quote. Just so you know, I'm very excited about this project and definitely willing to chat if you have any questions, which is basically me being like, just tell me how much I need to drop it so that you'll say yes.
Right.
You know, you don't want to send that. It sounds desperate. It doesn't, that you're not setting the groundwork to value your work. Instead, you know, making it clear that they can come back to you to ask about how you can put the project together is super important. And they're going to be very appreciative that you're willing to have that conversation with them.
You position yourself as a professional. Everything we're talking about is position yourself as a professional, which leads to a good taste in their mouth, which leads to good word of mouth and potentially them coming back to you with retainer work or re-upping the license. So
yeah,
take yourself seriously.
Take yourself seriously. So when you send a quote, this is the way I do it.
Is this the final steps of walking through the steps of pricing a sample project?
Yeah. Yeah. So when I send a quote, I'll send, you know, the top section will list the project, list the deliverables. And then I'll have a section that's like artwork creation. So that's like the price it's going to take for me to draw the work. And then the next section down is usage, and it's got a fee attached, and then it'll list out exactly what they told me. So it'll list out the geography, the duration, the type, and the exclusivity. So when they see it, when they sign it, you know, if they're cool with it, like that can act as your agreement. Obviously contracts and all that are important. We won't go into that this time because this is the licensing talk, but we'll do a part three. Yeah, maybe my attorney will come. Wouldn't that be fun? ask a creative attorney. So I'll send, you know, it's got three sections. It's got the project description. It's got the artwork creation fee. It's got a section about licensing that clearly lists what they get for that fee. And then, you know, it's got the beautiful fine print at the bottom that's like, that you get this many revisions, you know, or this many hours of revisions for the above fee. And anything outside of this will be charged at whatever you want to charge. So those five sections allow me to send it off. I shoot over the email that makes it very clear that I'm open to discussion. And then you hopefully make some magic. This is the recipe. So that's how I price. That's how I think you should price. Sometimes you might have clients that come to you and offer, you know, like a 5% royalty per item sold. That's cool. You can take that if you want, but also make sure that the contract states how long they can sell the work and where they can sell the work. Like, just make sure you cover your bases. Even if you really want to do a project and you know, the person is like, absolutely not, no licensing, whatever. And you really want to do it. Like, we've all been there. Just make sure in your contract, you show a rate for licensing, and then you can cross it out and be like, fee waived, but all of these terms still apply. It's still there. It's still written down.
And they see the value that they're getting.
And they see the value. If it's free, it's free, but you've still written down the value. And so my last takeaway is you should include on every single contract or quote you send, include the verbiage, artist retains all rights not expressly granted. Which means that if something comes up, I won't mention what internet visual platform is really coming up, but if maybe if something like, I don't know, NFTs just pops up in the future, things that we haven't even thought of yet, you have it written down that you have retained all rights not expressly granted, because who knew that stuff was going to come up? You didn't know then. So if you retain all rights not expressly granted, you are protecting yourself in the future, and you're protecting yourself because in the case that a client comes back to you and they're like, well, you know, you said it could only be used on bottles, and technically this is a bottle. It's just a virtual bottle, you know, doesn't count. You've protected yourself. You've included that line item.
Solid. Until you get it on the blockchain and get it minted. And here we go.
Until you get it on a blockchain. I know those contracts that exist that we see quite frequently that are like, you know, the client's requesting like all use in perpetuity in the universe for all purposes currently existing and yet to be created.
Whatever happens.
Yeah. You look at those and you're like, ha ha ha, like that'll never happen. They'll never put art in space. And then it's gonna happen.
Go and get a floral pattern on like Jupiter or something like that. And you're like,
it's gonna happen. So I hope this was fruitful. I understand that a lot of it is, you know, kind of high level, especially if you're just starting out, but I hope that there are like little bits and pieces that you can start incorporating now, even into your smaller projects, or, you know, if you're doing work for friends that is commercial, like t-shirt design and stuff like that. Just use that as practice, like, you know, use that friend project as sample practice to put together a quote, you know, get them to sign it, like under just, it's all stuff that, you know, I did back in the day. It's all learning process. I'm telling you so that hopefully you don't make the same mistakes I did, and that you can have a little a little level up on having these contract negotiations and conversations with clients. Hopefully there are some at least small takeaways for everyone.
I think this is like gonna blow people away. So I have two quick follow-up questions. So in your four buckets of uses questions, would you put this one under type of license? So say you get asked to do a t-shirt designed by like Dickies or something like that. You hit the geography type of license. Is that the bucket that you ask, like, hey, how much are you selling each t-shirt for? You know, like, do you specifically ask what's your retail, what's your markup, or like what's your wholesale, what's your retail? Are those like questions you ask as well to really understand?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely could. I have felt personally like I haven't really had to ask that question a lot because of just general pricing. Like if someone is designing a t-shirt, I'm fairly sure they're going to sell it for like between $20 and $40. Yeah, it's, or, you know, alcohol. If I'm working with an alcohol client, I can look up their website and see what their other bottles are selling for, unless they tell me it's like a premium limited edition bottle, in which case I would more ask the questions about like, well, how limited edition is it? I think that it's probably more worth it if you're getting something like a royalty. So if you're getting, you know, 5% of a sale, then it's probably a lot more important to you to understand how much they're selling it for. Or if it's wholesale, you're probably only making a percentage on 50% of the sale. So that is a totally valuable question, but I would say it's more important when it's for a royalty-based agreement.
Okay. Plus, I think you already just answered the question. Go and research what they're currently doing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's a good starting point for your art creation fee? I think last time we talked, yours was a minimum of $2,000. I'm assuming it's probably gone up like fine wine over time with you. So what would be a good starting point for someone who wants to take this commercial illustration path?
I guess it depends on the size and complexity of the work. But I don't think you should ever be charging less than $500 for any creative work of any sort. And that is low. That's very low, but I don't think you should ever dip below that in any way. And for a project that is that low, you need even more restrictions on the work. You need to make it even more clear how much work they get for that amount and how much you would charge for any work done beyond the scope of what you agreed to. My minimum is around $3,500 right now. And that really covers like the minimum of what amount of work it takes for me to do a project, because these days my projects are more in the 60 to 120 hour range.
It's like insane.
It takes I used to think that a 40 hour drawing took so long.
Especially if they ask for it like vectored as well.
And multiple variants, like, oh, we're doing a set of four different botanical items. Like each one of those is going to take me 40 to 50 hours. So that's a 200 hour project. I mean, it's huge.
So your art fee for something like that is
high. Yeah.
Yeah. Like 20K for an art fee, then on tack on licensing and usage rights.
Yeah. It's not unheard of. I mean, I think at this point, if somebody wants like just a like full color, 8.5 by 11 illustration, like the number raster, the number that pops in my head is like 5K. Like I'm like, oh, I could probably do that for 5K. But you know, if there's any variation on top of it, or if maybe I get to use pieces from other projects, it might kind of fluctuate. And my hourly rate is $200 an hour now. So that's kind of like what I mentally base things off of. And it's ever changing because as I'm learning to streamline my work, things take me less time. And as new tools come out for me as a creative, things take me less time. And I'm perfectly okay changing the rate and the amount that I quote based on how long it takes me out of my life. Because if I can fit in three projects in a week instead of one, then I don't need to charge as much to the one person. I can split that between three people. It's, you know, it's an ever-changing, fluctuating system. Like, it's amazing to me that some things have come out in Procreate, like the recolor tool, which is like the click and drop color that, you know, I love this tool.
I took your Procreate class.
Yeah. I mean, I used to like manually color every section of everything. So my work took three times as long. When that came out, I was like, oh my God, I can do like three projects in a week now instead of just one. And I'm okay passing that benefit along to my clients and then understanding, you know, usage. So I can work for more people. I can do more cool stuff because I have more time.
as we wrap things up, where can people go to support you online? I'm going to, since we just went hella deep on a topic, second time around, I don't usually do like rapid fire, but I want to give you a chance to plug your Flowerscape coloring book.
You can follow me at Little Patterns. And then I have a coloring book that I just came out with, my first adult coloring book. It's really pretty. It's sold out. So it sold out at 10 weeks, which is really cool, but also kind of depressing because it's like not, well, now you can't even get it. However, they are doing a reprint. So there are going to be more books on the market like super soon. But if you want the book and you don't see it available, just like wait a little bit because super flattering that it sold so well. Like I didn't expect it at all. My first two books, like there are so many copies of them like still out in the world that they like can't get rid of.
I appreciate that early copy.
Flowerscape is my first coloring book.
Well, I really sincerely appreciate you. I'll plug all of this in the show notes, and I already can tell a round 3 is going to be coming. So if you are listening, please share the shit out of this one. Share your sketch notes too, because I also love that, or share it while you're working to something just to show like, hey, I'm grinding and consuming at the same time. But thank you. I always appreciate our conversations and staying up to date with what you're doing on the side. So this means a lot to me. I really appreciate your time.
It was great.
Yeah. Well, let's stay in touch. And round 3 is brewing.
Yeah. I'll think about my next topic.
All right. You probably need to go chill out right now. You did all the talking today, so your shoulders probably hurt.
Yeah, I have to go have some herbal tea or something. This was great. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy putting together your quotes. Bye.
Peace. PC family, I hope you enjoyed this little conversation with Maggie Interrios of Litter Patterns. You know what to do. Do what you do best. If you found value in what she had to say today, go blow her up on Instagram or whatever platform you're on that she's on to right now and share with her your biggest takeaways, as well as those sketch notes if you got down on them. Again, please, please, please share this one like crazy, as we need to take initiative to spread this type of information to raise the bar within our creative industry. We all benefit when we become more educated, communicate our value, and charge what we're worth. Stop being bottom feeders, competing to the bottom of charging the lowest rate and ripping everyone else off. It's not a good look for us. Make sure to give her a follow and keep your eyes peeled like a potato for the next round of Flowerscape, her adult coloring book, when they get restocked. And just know we'll have a part 3 coming up in the future. So you can find the full episode information containing all the links and references in the show notes within your current podcast listening app. And this is important because I want to be your coach. If you're feeling creatively stuck and isolated within your creative pursuits, then you're the exact type of person I'm looking to work closely with in the next future Side Hustlers coaching program. This is a customized 12-week program for, it used to be 12 students, but the next time around I'm doing 10, tapping into the next level of clarity, confidence, community, and accountability within their creative side hustle. I host this program every spring and fall, so learn more and join the A-list waitlist over at sidehustlerscoaching.com to lock in a spot in the upcoming session. As of recording, being on the waitlist sets you up for the upcoming fall 2021 program, which takes place September 13th through December 5th. And one last thing, if this show has helped you along your creative grind, could you do me a solid and leave a rating and review over on Apple Podcasts and iTunes? It only takes a couple minutes, and not only does it help the show climb the charts in the arts design category, but it staples you in as a future listener of the week. And today's listener of the week is titled Great. And this one comes from Sandos47 from the US. Dude, they kept this so short and simple, concise, and to the point. They said, finally, I find a podcast that I can feel related to. Topics are extremely helpful and is great to have all these side hustlers giving advice. I love it. Boom. That probably took them a couple minutes. That means a lot. And this also works on whatever podcast listening app you have, not just Apple Podcasts or iTunes. If you can submit a review, I can see it no matter where you are in the world. So as I sign off, huge shout out to Anya Brennan for the podcast editing expertise, my executive assistant Paige Garland, video specialist Colton Bacher, and social media coordinator Hannah Schick, and finally Nick Jenkins of Blue Girl for all the dope music you hear on the show. And as you finish off your week strong, I want to encourage you to keep showing up, keep putting in the work, and keep creating. You got this.